Thank you for tuning in to the Design Podcast. My name is Dustin Mader, and I'm a visual artist. I've always been fascinated with the creative muse in others and in myself. In tonight's episode, we'll be speaking with Brian Waitula, the visionary visual artist, about life, legacy, and the goings-on of what's next for the future of Southeastern art. Thank you for coming on tonight, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. I'm a big admirer of your work, and just the variety of your skill is impressive. And I hope we can talk about quite a bit about that tonight. So I guess for starting off, who are you and what do you do?
My name's Brian Waitula. I'm just kind of look at myself as just an overall artist. Just everything in general, visual, sculpture, just really anything I can get my hands on just to kind of display, kind of explore any medium, just kind of get my creative ideas out there, just things that, kind of inspire me, things come up from my past, and hopefully direction of future of my work, and just really just try and have some fun.
Right on. It seems like your work is kind of the medium is secondary to your vision. That it's secondary to your vision in the sense that you're telling a narrative, and whatever you can get your hands on, that's just the convenience of that moment. It doesn't necessarily wouldn't be your defining feature just because you decide to sculpt one day or maybe paint another.
Yeah, no, certain ideas I think about, this would look better in, acrylics. Would this look better more in pen and ink? More dramatic in charcoal, or kind of that chiaroscuro with just the very dramatic white highlights, extreme contrast, light and dark. It just kind of goes with whatever, I'm trying to see in my head, and I just try and figure out what medium works best and what'll express that, just that idea.
Absolutely. What inspires you?
That's a tough one. Just really, really everything. My family's, inspired to do work, for them, be able to support them, but, just things, experiences really, from my childhood, to where I am now, stories, just experiences, is kind of what inspires me.
Well, excellent. What are you doing to be a good ancestor?
just trying to be a good person. Someone I hope that might inspire others. It's kind of looking back at where my ancestors come from, kind of on both sides of my family, family here in Oklahoma, but then also a family that is up north in Chicago. Two entirely different backgrounds. I'm just trying to be someone that I hope, if they were looking down, that they could be proud of. Trying to spread stories or just pass on, the experiences or the memories or the teachings, that I've been taught. Anytime I go to these shows and I see a young artist, that's what really gets me, are the students, me from teaching, just trying to inspire and pass on just some of my experiences to the youth.
That's awesome. Yeah, I resisted teaching people for a long time. I feel like I didn't have anything really to kind of clearly teach, but over time I kind of see the beauty in teaching folks, in that it kind of helps make your own work that much stronger, I guess, when you're articulating stuff to students about pathways of what to avoid and what to do. It kind of makes things kind of come to focus that you maybe wouldn't have thought about if you were just on your own.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, it's a tough profession. I was in the classroom setting. I wanted to kind of work where I could still do my artwork, but also just kind of pass on the things that I've been taught to others. And I've been so fortunate to work with some really good kids and some good students. And now I'm starting to work where starting to teach, people a little bit more my age. but you know, just when you come across students that get it and they're interested in it, and it really makes me appreciate my choice to go into teaching for those years. And I've gotten to meet some really good kids after that. I have one student that is currently on like the Face Off All Stars, Damian Zimmerman, my first job teaching, which is really cool. I guess he's on that's on that Sci-Fi channel.
Really?
That's he's doing great. Yeah, and he's doing very well in the arts, and you know, see him on Instagram or Facebook, and just every once in a while, because I know he's busy, just telling him, hey man, proud of you, great to see what you're doing. And then another Native American artist I had when I moved to Sepulpa, back to my hometown, George Alexander, is becoming an artist in his own right. The dude is went to school in Santa Fe after high school. He's been studying under some, continuing his education in the arts and exploring new mediums and new subject matter, and just seeing what he's doing in Santa Fe, and now that he's back from studying abroad, I can't wait to sit down with him again and just kind of, talk shop.
Yeah, that's.
But just getting into teaching was, I'm very happy with the decision to do that.
That's excellent. What are you working towards? Like, what is your? You talked about before about how, you have a message, and the idea that the medium to get it there is kind of secondary, but what is your overall theme? What are you working towards? I know it's kind of hard to say when you're in the middle of it, but.
One, I'm trying to develop a new style of my own. You know, I think all of us as artists are always trying to find our own voice and our own platform, our own medium, our own style.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to, use my style or what I'm envisioning to put down on paper or canvas or really whatever, and just try and with my art, try and instill. Some art is a lot of fun. I don't like doing a lot of history every piece that I get into, but majority of the time I like to try and tell stories, that I was told, or maybe even the history, just more in a contemporary new age way. Not so traditional, but just something a little newer. There were times when I was here in Oklahoma, and we had this land run. I don't know what it was. The kids line up, they have these flags out, on campus, and the kids take off running, and they go grab a flag. All the kids were doing that, but a couple of mine that I didn't. We're all taught a different kind of history.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't until I was older, and maybe even talked to my grandmother before she passed, and my mother a little bit later, that I started to understand, as I was getting older, that just what's in textbooks isn't necessarily the one vision of what happened.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one-sided, I guess you could say, but I like this day and age on kind of where we are as indigenous people starting to voice the different perspectives, rather than what was shoveled kind of into our mouths when we were in school as youngsters.
Absolutely.
Looking back to that, I see I can still remember one or two of my friends sitting off to the side. I was kind of like, well, why aren't they doing it? They just refused, but they knew, they understood that wasn't something they to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a. It's
so just,
It's hard, I guess, to take a stand like that as a kid. You know, you don't want to be ostracized, but, you know.
Oh yeah. You know, and I keep in touch with those guys still, and I still remember that. But you know, just trying to put some historic sense on it. You know, it's not government bashing or anything like that. It's more or less just kind of a reminder. You know, I did a piece called "Sincerely, Andrew Jackson" with a young lady as my model, and she's draped in a in a red cloth. And it's got Andrew Jackson's signature, writing towards Congress about the Indian Removal Act on the back, and you know, just kind of integrating his choice and the reciprocations of the results of those choices with my model that's in the piece. But then, you know, taking a New Age spin off of it and a page out of Banksy, who's that artist overseas, with his Banksy bucks, I came out with something called my Treaty Bucks.
Yeah, those are great, by the way. I love it.
Yeah, thanks. I've been getting a good feedback on those. And then working in, you know, in the design world, when I graduated from the University of Oklahoma with a VisCom degree, you know, I had experience in Photoshop, Illustrator, all of those things. So putting out my books, coloring books, a little children's book, but then also, I partnered with, did a collaboration with Natives Clothing, that they recently just dropped, you know, kind of a parody of the Wheaties, but we did a Treaties shirt, and
Really? Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. That's really cool.
that's gained some really nice response, and I'm so thankful those guys gave me an opportunity, a chance, you know, just a young unknown artist right there, really right now. At this point, to give me that kind of a platform to give them a little something to kind of raise awareness, and it's gotten great response. You know, I went to the Idle George Museum recently to compete and show some of my work in Indianapolis, and I wore that one day and had an elder lady artist who snagged me as I was walking by. I see some fellow Oklahomans that were showing. I think I was by Chase Earl's booth, and she was asking me, "Where'd you get that shirt? Where'd you?" I was like, "Well, I made it." She's like, "No way, I've seen that." You know, so it's nice that it's getting the attention and just kind of raising, you know, awareness on a lot larger of a, you know, an audience.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be gratifying to see people that are not only aware of it, but you know, they're like that stop you in your tracks and just want have to talk about it.
Yeah, she caught me off guard, and because I didn't know her. But she brought me over and introduced me to two or three of her other friends. Gosh, and I wish I could remember where they were from. You know, and it was a pleasant visit, and they were kind of like, "Yeah, we seen that. We seen you did." You know, it was kind of neat. But you know, it's like anything else. When you work hard on something, and as an artist, and you've got an admirer, or just, you know, you get this feedback that, hey, that's a really nice piece. You know,
Yeah.
you appreciate that, and knows that, you know that your concept is being is connecting with people.
Yeah. It's empowering. It's to see people and to see when they get it. And
Yeah.
it seems like folks really get it, and that's important. Is there something you want to discuss, like a project that you got coming up, that you would like to share with our audience tonight?
You and me, man, we're getting ready for that national show in Santa Fe, right?
Oh yes, Native Rome.
Yeah, so you know, we're trying to put our best work out there. You know, that's that national stage for us, that when we're able to partake and participate, and then you know, competition. You know, we want to make sure that we're putting our best pieces out there. You know, you're not just showing the public, "Oh, here's what I have left because I sold, you know, these other pieces," but you know, you want to put your best work, best concepts forward. So yeah, I've got a couple ideas in my back pocket, as I call it, and hoping to get into studio here this week, and possibly put, you know, one Prismacolor together, possibly a large scale charcoal, and maybe a painting, you know, just a couple different mediums.
But on average, about how many pieces do you make a year? Is there like an average?
Oh, I wish there was. You know, with me teaching, I just stepped down from teaching after 13 years, which, you know, my wife and I, who's been extremely supportive, and my family, you know, just teaching and working hard so I could save up so I could take these 2 years, a year or two off. I call it a sabbatical. I'm just, you know, not like a college professor getting paid for that. But,
yeah,
you know, just... I'm trying to think, you know, in the classroom, I'm always working. I'm always thinking of ideas, always creating. I'm also learning too as well, you know, hey, I saw this, let's learn about this. And then I learn something a little bit new about that artist or that medium. But while I'm working in class with the students on their projects, you know, I might put together a piece a month, maybe, you know, I get into lecturing and then working in something else where I really have to have hands-on in the classroom. You know, it doesn't allow you to come home and then start to start working, you know.
Yeah. What do you hope for? Go ahead.
No, just hoping to start doing a lot more now that you know that I'm going to be in studio here on the land, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to produce more than 12 yeah. a year.
Well, when I was talking to Brenda Kingery on one of the podcasts a while back, she was talking about how she approaches it like a farmer. She plans out about 15 paintings that she's going to do per season. And, you know, she hopes that the crops sell, but she really approaches it in a farmer-like sense. But she predetermines, I'm going to do this amount of paintings, and I'm going to start with, like, the bigger ones first, and then I'll finish out the small ones.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like you have a little bit of that approach. But it seems like yours is like, you're planning a bit quicker turnaround harvests.
Yeah, I try to, just because I'm not just focusing on perhaps paintings, you know. My Prismacolor drawings, depending on the size, those things can take the longest. And that's, you know, a lot of my drawings start to look like paintings when I'm working with those. But, you know, again, it gets back.
Brian, what are your hopes for the future in the next 20 years? What do you want to see from the things that you are doing today? How do you want to see that reflected?
Well, hopefully I'm going to go through, you know, we're going to see some changes, you know, just advancement, maybe just with, the different nations across the U.S. Hopefully they're growing, you know, and like the times change, you know, a lot of the art that's depicted during those, that time period, you know, is going to go through changes as well. You know, I hope that, as we, you know, every tribe, advances, I hope that there, you know, there's new advances in art, but I also hope that, that many of our traditions too are, traditional arts, just really just traditions. I hope those are, you know, continue to be passed on like they have been, you know, with my mom and her traditional baskets. She was taught with my grandmother. You know, I hope those continue on, and hopefully as I get older, I can start to, you know, probably learn some more about that medium. I'm a terrible basket weaver. Jokingly, my grandmother and mom, you know, they taught us all how to weave, but mine ended up rolling off the table. So, you know, I know my sister can weave fairly well. My my cousin Trevor, my nephew, has already started learning how to weave, and you know, it's something I hope that my niece and maybe even my son will, you know, pick up and want to learn and take on, and hopefully I'll be able to learn some more that I can pass that on to them. But you know, just that we're advancing in all nations and all tribes, you know, just progressing, and whether it's in our you know, our culture, our heritage, you know, government, or you know, just our arts.
Right on. Well, here's a bit more of an abstract question. Why art? Like, what is the importance of art?
Why art to me, or?
Yeah.
Because I can't sing or dance. I wish I could. I could sing, I could dance, I could act. I just can't. You know, I was blessed with this talent. I just try and do as best I can with it. Just to raise awareness or just to communicate messages through my art. That's primarily why, though. When people ask, I'm just like, well, that's one thing I'm good at. I can't sing or dance.
I like that. I feel like that too at times where I haven't been good at any of my other jobs, but I've always been decent at art. So
yeah,
it's like the only choice that was made for me.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to think here. Well, what do I say here? What is for a young and upcoming artist? What is integral to the work of an artist and to getting yourself established? Can you give a bit of a background of what you went into in order for your kind of where you've gotten where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I started, back in high school. I was good at something and just wanted to make sure that I take advantage of those gifts. I didn't want to squander them. I wanted to. Almost like train myself and just see where these develop these talents and see where they go. And working hard through high school got me that scholarship to OU, which an opportunity to further my education. And after that, you learn the business, marketing, design, but like any other artist, you have to study other mediums, educate yourself, learn from other artists, and you eventually find your own way and find your own voice. But coming up, I did a lot of things for free, a lot of things for gifts, a lot of things for charities, a lot of volunteering my time for different organizations, just to get your work out there, and at the same time you're progressing in your medium and your discipline. And then just, over the years, eventually you get to where, I'm good enough to get into this show or this competition. And then, it may not be until like your fourth or fifth show that your work starts to, develop and blossom a little bit, or, your skill is noticed by maybe a judge or, a business or company that wants to give you a commission. And
yeah,
I just started developing a little bit in different mediums and submitting different types of artwork, and I won an award here and was noticed here, and then it just kind of built up. And then doing some artwork for charities, and then starting to show at one competition or one national show, and then a couple more, until now, where I've been blessed with people wanting to, like you in this interview, want to interview me and learn a little bit. I've been in the Tulsa World a couple times, Tulsa People, a few magazines, wanting to do articles and just know a little bit more about my story and upbringing. But it's almost you just got to pay your dues. We go around the country trying to show our art, and hopefully we can find a patron. And appreciate our work, and then hopefully that builds more and more to the point now that where I can step away from education and kind of concentrate on just my artwork and my concepts for a year or so. You're just putting in your dues, you're learning things, with technology, all of the social media things, and just learning to market yourself.
I think that's definitely, thank you for sharing that. I hope that, I sometimes get emails from younger artists and viewers at times that have asked for that kind of a question for some of the artists that I've been speaking to, just to kind of give them an idea of what to expect. You know, everyone's I know everyone's situation is different and experience is different, but there's always like a universal theme of you really kind of have to cultivate an awareness of people need to become aware of your tenacity. I think John Wayne said it about being, you know, where he said, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. And I think that's equally true as an artist. If you're going to be an artist, you better be tough, because it's going to be, especially when you're first getting established, there's going to be quite a few years of famine before you ever get to any kind of feast.
Oh yeah, I mean I jokingly, well, not jokingly, but it is a grind. I mean, I remember all through college, doing things for free or in exchange for, some services or some help. Even probably, 5, 6 years ago, I was still volunteering some of my artwork just so that it could be, seen or noticed. But yeah, you do have to pay your dues, and it's and grind a little bit. It's kind of like those musicians. They want to be known, so I mean, it's not going to happen for them at their house. They've got to go out, and they've got to go to all these cities and travel. And I've got a cousin right now, Wayne Garner, who's I see him on the road, and he's performing in his band and doing pretty well. But it's like that. You want to get on the big stage, the big ticket, or selling out those big arenas. You've got to learn to make a name for yourself, and you got to be good at the same time.
Absolutely, it helps.
Yeah, dedication to your craft. I mean, I don't think if I could do this, just half-ass, for lack of a word, but you can't be extremely good at something and expect just to put the minimum in it.
Exactly. You're gonna have to work it, regardless of whatever it is that you're good at. What is a favorite place, or even more, what is one of the most inspirational places for you?
Well, probably where I'm at right now, at my house, sitting on the front porch. I live on about 5 acres, and it's just trees everywhere, all around. I can't see my neighbors. It's peaceful out here. I can hear nature, and sometimes, those gophers digging up my lawn kind of get after me, but probably home, really anywhere that my family is, whether they're here at my house, or I'm at my mom's, or I'm at my dad's, or just visiting with my sister. Another nice place I like to go is really anywhere back, in Sepulpa, where I grew up, just kind of, reminiscing about memories when I was younger, and then even back further in Tahlequah, being at the city park there down in the city, and just walking alongside the creek there. I did that, a couple months ago when I went there for a workshop, and just brought back a lot of good memories with family, and just my grandmother and family down in Tahlequah. Just that's what I enjoy, and really just anywhere, for inspiration. I just kind of just anywhere out in nature.
Excellent. Is there a dream project you haven't approached yet, or something that you've always wanted to do and you just haven't, started that course?
No, man, I've done everything. I could retire now and I'd be happy. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, of course. We always want to do something better than our last, something, something better than just what we produced last. We're always trying to improve and improve and improve. I did this last piece. Now I want to improve on that and get this done a little bit better. Okay, I've done that one. Now I want to improve a little bit more. Eventually, I'd love to be able to experiment a little bit on a larger scale. Even, I have a couple acquaintances through social media who are graffiti artists, and that's a medium where they can actually produce on a larger scale and still have that same avenue to, you know, get their message across to viewers.
Okay. I guess this would be some of the last questions here. And Brian, I really appreciate you coming on. It's been really great talking with you tonight.
I appreciate it. It's been fun.
I've been an admirer of your work at a distance, and we've had some correspondence over the years, but it's really cool to just kind of sit here and visit with you, even if it's over the phone.
Likewise. Really good. I know it's hard. You know, we both have, you know, jobs, and I mean, until right now, you know, I'm always usually in the classroom, and during the summer I'm grinding, and you know, you're at your job as well, and
yeah, well,
we're both grinding away.
Yeah, there's no time to sit on our laurels. There's always kind of something going on. What is like some of the best advice you've ever been given in becoming a professional artist, whether it be from, like, you know, a word of confidence from like Mr. Rogers on PBS to something that was told directly to you. I mean, what is like probably one of the most profound like pieces of knowledge that you've been given?
I'm trying to remember where I heard it from. I'm trying to remember if it was from my dad, or I'm sure I've heard it from a couple people in my family. If you're really working hard in anything, any craft that you have, whether it's singing, dancing, I mean, any art form, any medium, athletics, if you're good at what you do, you're gonna get found. You don't always need to go, it's like I'm watching athletics or something and I see this kid in the NFL or in the NBA, you know, he's doing very well, and it's like, where'd he come from? That school, I've never heard of it. Is that even a college, or something along those sense? If you work hard at it and you hone your craft, you're going to be successful, and people are going to notice your hard work.
I think so. Talent is helpful, but having ambition and also having a drive, I think those are pretty imperative.
Those have to go hand in hand. I mean, I was blessed with some talent, but if I didn't work hard to hone my skills or refine different areas, I'd still be back to where doing things now at the level I was maybe my sophomore year in college, if I was lucky, So you've always got to refine and just always keep advancing.
Yeah. I guess this will be the last question on,
sure,
on
man,
here.
Sure.
I don't want to keep you too much longer. Gosh, here we've mentioned all the things.
Just let me know. I'm on my last summer break as a teacher, so I'm soaking it in.
All right. Well, this is kind of a bit of a hard one, but I'll close with this one. What is the role of the artist in society?
Oh man, you're giving me some hard questions. I mean, what is the purpose of art? Well, we're basically kind of historians in a sense. I mean, back before there were camera phones and anything you could do on these inventions here, we documented imagery. Much like what photographers do today with the news and everything, if something's happening halfway across the world, we have TV and media and cameras now to document that. But it's just, I think our job is to just relay information. I'm relaying historical, and I mean not so much historical, well I guess it would be since I'm 40 years old now, But you know, things my grandmother said to me back, you know, just her points of views from back when I was younger, or her stories, you know, trying to relay those things through me to other youths, you know, that may not be, they may not be Cherokee, you know, may not be familiar with some of our ways, you know. And that's kind of what I do a little bit in some of my artwork, you know, through social media. I have the advantage to meet other Native Americans, you know, whether they're Cree or a meadow gentleman who's Yakima up in the Warm Springs tribe area in Oregon, who I really enjoy his story and what he does as a slick style dancer, you know, horsetail dancer. And
oh, nice.
I'm able to put his imagery or what he does or his regalia or just a little bit of his story into one of my works of art, you know. And
I did see that one. I actually follow him on Instagram as well, so I know which piece you're talking about.
Levi's a cool guy. He's an artist too, a dancer, makes jewelry, and he's a photographer.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a pretty good photographer. I'm only familiar with his dancing and his photography.
He is. So I mean, if you know, I mean, I enjoyed telling his story to a couple of admirers, you know, that came by during the Artesian Festival, down in Sulphur, and they really enjoyed learning about him, you know, and then other Native Americans that I may come across that, you know, they may never ever, you know, visit that area of the country. So, you know, I that's what I feel our job as artists are to do, you know, you know, just tell stories, our own as well as our beliefs and what others, you know, are doing. But also, you know, try to invoke emotion and, you know, some beauty in all that we do.
Well, Brian, that's a perfect way to end it. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, anytime, dude.
All right.
Happy to do it.
Yeah. Thank you again. Hey, Brian, I did have one more question I wanted to ask. Can you share, ways that folks can acquire your artwork or see your artwork or maybe go to see where your work is being showcased?
Okay, you want me to give them my home address? They can come right up here to my house.
Well, it's whatever you feel comfortable with. Probably not that.
I'm good. I like my privacy out here a little bit in the country. But no, they can visit my website, which is just Brian with a Y, Waitula.com. Also, you know, they can follow me. Like I follow you on Instagram. My handle is at Waitulegit. I'm also... in Lynn Fox's Pueblo Pottery Gallery there in Santa Fe. I've got a couple pieces, and then I'm also represented by Lovett's Art Gallery here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Nice. Nice. Well, that works. Thank you, Brian.
Cool, man. Cool.
Thank you, Brian, for coming on tonight. Thank you, everyone, coming for this little bit unorthodox episode of the Dust Sign Podcast. I look forward to hearing from you guys and more of your questions. And I will have a couple new podcasts coming up this week. I have two recordings tomorrow, and we should have them up before the end of the week. Thank you, everyone. Chapisa Lecho.